come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of His holy word. A guy named David Keister Jr. wrote an article a while back about a fellow named Mark Huggins. When Mark was 5 years old, he asked for a brand new violin for Christmas. His mother, Ellie, didn't take him seriously, so she kept trying to put him off. But Mark kept asking for a violin. So finally, against her better judgment, Ellie got her son a violin for Christmas. Made Mark very happy. Made Ellie very happy. Made the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania very happy, because today Mark Huggins is all grown up and he is the associate concert master for the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. So you never know what the future is going to hold. We like to work and save and plan and prepare, and those are very wise things to do, but how often do our best plans go completely haywire? So this morning, I want to talk about visions of grandeur. In the passage from the Old Testament book of Joel that Ashley read for us a few minutes ago, the Bible talks about a day when children prophesy and old people have these incredible dreams. It talks about young people having grand visions. Now that prophecy was recorded like 2,500 years ago. About 500 years later, 2,000 years ago, people who first knew Jesus believed that prophecy had been fulfilled. They believed that God had given them a grand new vision of what they could be for Jesus. Now, all that happened a long, long time ago. And that sense of enthusiasm and wonder those first disciples' experience has ebbed and flowed quite a bit over the centuries through the life of the church. It has not, however, disappeared. It is still available today. When the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ takes up residence in people's lives, they begin to have visions of grandeur. Now, I truly believe that God has great things in mind for Kirkwood Presbyterian Church. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes and focus on what can happen when we let the Holy Spirit fill us with visions of grandeur. Before we go on, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. God Almighty, long, long ago, you affected people's lives in ways that were incredible and dramatic. You continue to lift people up and affect lives in ways that are incredible and often dramatic. Lord, help us to see, to hear, to understand what you are doing among us as we gather around your word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you are probably very aware of by now, today is Pentecost Sunday. Traditionally, Pentecost Sunday is the day that Christians observe as the birthday of the church. It's connected to the story we just read from Acts chapter 2, right at the start of the sermon. Jesus' disciples were all gathered in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had ascended into heaven, and they were just kind of waiting around to see what God was going to do next. In the city, the Jews were celebrating the festival called Pentecost. It was called Pentecost because it was observed 50 days after Passover. And it was connected to two things. It was connected to the Old Testament book of Exodus, where Moses instituted what was called the Feast of the First Fruits, a celebration where Jews gave thanks to God for the first crops that had been harvested that year. It was also connected with God giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So there were a lot of Jews from all over the known world who had gathered in Jerusalem. The disciples were in that upper room when, according to the report, the Holy Spirit came upon them like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It looked like tongues of fire, and the disciples jumped up. They ran out into the streets, and they began to tell people about Jesus. And all these people from all over the world who spoke many different languages could understand what was being said in their native tongue. And the crowd, they didn't know what to think about it. Some of them were just completely overwhelmed with amazements. Some of them accused the disciples of being drunk. Peter launched into a sermon based on Joel's prophecy, and at the conclusion of his message, 3,000 people joined the cause, and the church was born. When the Holy Spirit captures people's hearts, they have visions of grandeur. When the Holy Spirit takes over our lives, Jesus picks us up and gets us going in the direction God needs us to go. Jesus shows us a better way of doing things, and Jesus makes us more capable than we ever imagined possible. It's amazing how good we are at getting ourselves into hopeless situations. We do things that we know we're not supposed to do. We don't do things that we know we are supposed to do. And we get ourselves in just a downward spiral. The disciples were completely baffled. They had spent the better part of 3 years walking and talking with Jesus, learning from the things he had to teach them, and then, almost without warning, Jesus was dead, and they were overwhelmed with grief. 3 days later, Jesus was alive again, and their grief had been transformed into ultimate joy. They saw Jesus. They talked with him. They ate with him. And then almost as quickly, Jesus was gone again, ascended to be with the Father in heaven. And there they were, waiting around, wondering what God was going to do next. The Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ came upon them, picked them up, and got them going in the direction God wanted them to go. It's kind of like the 10th grade student who developed an overwhelming crush on a girl in the 11th grade. He was way too shy to go up to her. But one day, out of the blue, she walked up to him right in the middle of the cafeteria and asked him to take her to the prom. And without even thinking, he said yes. So he went out after school and he rented a tux and he got her a corsage. And then he realized that his dream had become a nightmare. He had no way to take her to the prom. You see, not only did he not have access to a car, he didn't even have a driver's license. He had no way of affording a limousine, and he knew his parents would not spring for it. And all of his other friends who did drive, well, they already had their plans. He had worked himself into a hopeless situation. Then he got an idea. He remembered that his grandfather had a big, shiny, black car. So he walked down to the pawn shop and bought an old chauffeur's cap. And he went over to his grandfather's house, and he asked his grandfather to put on a black coat and a tie and to wear the hat and drive him and his date to the prom. He also asked his grandfather not to tell anybody who he was. Well, this young fella turned out to be the hit of the prom, and his date loved it. Well, you see, Granddad was there when he needed him. The Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ is always there. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to take over our lives, Jesus picks us up and gets us going in the direction God needs us to go. Along the way, however, it is amazing how easy it is for us to get in our own way, because we really like to think we know how to do things. And so we do things the way we think they ought to be done, and we just end up making a huge mess. I don't know if you know the story or not, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night that Jesus was arrested, Simon Peter, the same Simon Peter who preached that incredible sermon on Pentecost Sunday, Simon Peter actually drew out a sword and cut the ear off of the high priest's servant. Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with it. He said, "Peter, put your sword away. We're going to do things in a better way." When people let the Holy Spirit overwhelm their lives, Jesus shows them a better way to do things. And there is always a better way. Do you know that many of the inventions we enjoy in our world today were produced by people who were looking for a easier way to do things? Thomas Edison, for instance, was once fired from a job he had early in his life as a telegraph operator because he came up with this device that allowed him to take naps on the job. When Henry Ford was still a little boy, he came up with a device that allowed him to close the gate without having to get out of the wagon. when he got successful in manufacturing, he once introduced a feeder line into one of his factories so that his workers wouldn't have to waste time and energy walking to go get parts. And then one day he realized that his workers were having to stoop down very low over the assembly line, and it was causing fatigue that led to sloppy work and on-the-job accidents. So he had the entire assembly line raised by 8 inches. That one simple adjustment not only increased worker productivity, it dramatically increased worker safety. See, there is always a better way to do things. When we let the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus take over our lives, Jesus will show us what is best. So, how do we give God what is best? That's the catch, isn't it? We can't. So no matter how hard we work, no matter how hard we strive, no matter how good our intentions, we always come up well short of what God created us to be. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul quotes the Old Testament Psalms when he says, "No one is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has any understanding." When people allow the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ to overwhelm their lives, Jesus enables them to be more capable than they ever imagined possible. During World War II, sailors in the South Pacific nicknamed the albatross Goonie Bird, because on land, Goonie Birds look incredibly awkward and goofy. They are so heavy and their wingspans are so long that albatrosses can't take off in calm wind. But once an albatross is airborne, they are marathon flyers. Nobody really knows how long an albatross can actually stay out at sea without having to land. I read about a time when scientists actually put a radio transmitter on an albatross, and after 30 days and 9,000 miles, the battery had run down and the albatross was still out over the open water. Albatrosses don't really flap their wings that much. They just glide on the air currents. They know that up at high altitudes, the faster wind speeds give them more speed, and then they will dive down and let gravity accelerate them, and they will catch the updrafts off of the waves, and they will circle up, and the cycle starts all over again. Even in some of the most violent winds at sea, albatrosses not only survive, they rarely ever get blown off course. They just circle up above the storms, wait for them to pass, and then they continue on their way. The visions of grandeur that the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ gives enable us to ride on the wings of God's love. Those first disciples many years ago let that Holy Spirit overwhelm their lives, and they were propelled forward to do things that were beyond their wildest dreams. That same Holy Spirit is the source of our power. As we let the Spirit's visions of grandeur overwhelm our lives, Jesus will pick us up and get us going in the direction God needs us to go. Jesus will show us the best way to do things. Jesus will make us more capable than we ever imagined possible. So I invite you today to let Christ overwhelm your life and soar on the wind of the Spirit for the rest of eternity. Let us pray. God Almighty, you have given us the blessing and the power of your Holy Spirit. Teach us what that means for each of our lives individually, but also for the life of your church here at Kirkwood. Lift us up, show us what you need done, and give us the ability to do it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.